been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, and chartered financial analyst, Barry Keit.
Good
in
morning,
the
Bill.
House. We've got the Dow up 46 right now. That's a new all-time high. Okay, so let's not snafu at these small gains, because that continues to carve out new highs. The Dow is now at 35,800. The NASDAQ, about 34 points to the upside. We had a bunch of tech reports yesterday, which we'll get to here for sure. Several very important ones. The NASDAQ's at 15,268, just under its all-time high. The Russell 2000 is down 9 points today. That's 0.4%. But the S&P 500, another new high, 4,577. It's up a couple of points, and I definitely can see where the leadership is today. For one, the solar stocks are on fire today with the big report out of Enphase. And some other hot areas here that we'll get to. The crude oil's down 78 cents to 83.87. That's still a lot higher than it was this time last year. Gold is up 290 to 17.96. Silver is up 17 cents to 24.26. The all-important bond market. We got a big drop in interest rates today. 1.56. That's a 6 basis point drop. That's a pretty sizable drop there in the 10-year. And then Bitcoin's taking a sizable hit today, down 28.52 to 59,052. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA and CFP, an all-around good guy, Barry Keit.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. We had a bunch of earnings reports coming in. Now, right now, I'm seeing a lot of strength in the solar stocks. Definitely are the sector of the day. And, you know, I judge that by looking at TAN, the ETF. And then I'm also seeing some strength in the Dow. It's Microsoft, McDonald's, Coca-Cola. Those three. On the downside, it's Visa. In the NASDAQ, it's Xilinx, which is tied to AMD. We'll talk about that in a minute. Tesla's having another good day, although a lot of skeptics coming out here with that $1 trillion market cap. Microsoft is having a good day. The big loser on the NASDAQ is Texas Instruments, which I would call pretty much a stock of yesteryear. And then over at the S&P, F5 Network, Xilinx, Harley-Davidson, Hogg is doing a wheelie today out of the gate quickly. And the home builders. Got to mention the home builders. They're doing very well today. I wonder if that's because of the drop in interest rates here today, or there might be a home builder that has reported earnings.
Been some strong housing data that came out in the last, you know, few days. I know Case-Shiller, I think, was home prices up 20%.
Yep.
And then I think new home sales, if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw that yesterday or the day before, it came in higher than expected, I think around 7% or so. Don't hold me to that one, but I know it came in higher than expected, which is really what matters.
Yeah, exactly. Home prices continue, and that's part of the inflation equation, too. Housing. All right. Well, the market did close at new all-time highs yesterday. It wasn't a very strong market, though. But after the close, a lot of very important companies reported earnings, and we'll get to that. The markets around the world were weak over. U.S.-China tensions continue to weigh on the global stock markets. That's a little bit ominous. And I just hope I don't wake up some morning and China's invading Taiwan, which there's a lot of talk these days about that possibility. And that would not be a good, because that would definitely escalate into something much, much bigger. Durable goods headline, well, it fell less than expected. That's never good. We lost a little less than we thought we were going to lose. It came in at minus 0.4, minus 0.9 was the forecast. Is this the next crisis? The U.S. coal supply at utilities, all right? The utilities, they haven't converted over yet to all green energy across the nation, and our utilities that we use to turn on our lights in the morning and to heat our homes. 24-year low. Okay, if this was a 2-year low, I wouldn't even mention it. A 3-year low, I wouldn't even mention it. But a 24-year low on the coal stockpiles at U.S. power plants, that's the lowest stockpiles since 1997. And it's not because they're converting over. It's just because they're surging demand, and they're behind on their stockpiles. So we'll see what happens. Coal stocks for utilities are at critically low levels. And let's not forget, last week it was the big pumps there in Oklahoma, where we store all Cushing is at all time is at dangerously low levels also. So right. I don't know if there's a crisis coming, but it's just a little bit ominous, and I'm just putting that out there for you as you can begin your emergency preparedness. You might want to stock up on firewood. Firewood and maybe get a horse to ride with the gas prices going up, or an electric scooter. Another reason that the solar stocks are having a good day, they seem to have agreed to that part of the spending package, which was at $3.5 trillion. Now it's down to $2 trillion, but 1/4 of that goes towards the climate change, and that's helping to boost bigger subsidies for solar, installing solar, and of course the keeping those electric vehicle credits. I don't know about the union versus non-union yet. That hasn't been decided.
That's an interesting piece for Tesla, and then
it's very interesting.
Yeah, the other thing is that I noticed that it was going to be more punitive, right, in terms of penalizing companies. Well, it's turned out that kind of a little bit of a change where it's going to be more, like you said, more of a subsidy based right. Benefit. So now I guess maybe we won't. We won't penalize those power plants for generating coal power, but we'll certainly encourage, right, the solar, solar installations. Yes. And those types of things. So I think that's part of, like you said, I think that's part of TAN and just the whole solar space getting a boost.
Yep, and we do have exposure there through TAN. The 15% minimum corporate tax, which would apply to about 200 companies, that is very much in play. You just have to be careful that you don't discourage research and development and things like that, carry forward losses, things like that. That's still going to be very, very tricky. And the other one that's very tricky, and I don't see how that will work, is that and it's moving along, that unrealized gains
tax. Right. I saw where it might cost. It would essentially Elon Musk maybe $10 billion in year one.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real money.
That's that's not an easy check to write. And, it would be on people like Bezos and Musk. Of course, now that's a separate one. That's the billionaire's tax.
Right.
And there's an article on Seeking Alpha today by the New York University professor Aswath Damodaran, who considers himself the dean of valuation. You've probably heard of him. He's an expert on evaluation. He calls that tax perverse. So anyways, That'll be hashed out. Okay, the big earnings report for me last night, there are several. AMD, we're going to check in on AMD when we come back from the break. We're going to check in on Microsoft and our analysis when we come back from the break. We're going to check in on Facebook, which got whacked pretty good yesterday. And then the other big one from yesterday was Google, Alphabet, the company formerly known as Google. So let's come back and talk about those. We own a few of those. They're big holdings here. We have a lot at stake, so obviously we're on it. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Keit. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter, today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow's improved a little. It's about even right now. It's down 8 points. The S&P's about flat, and the NASDAQ's up 41. Something went negative because we were up on the day, and now we're about flat. So something's changed here, and I'm not quite sure which stock it is, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. Maybe it's AMD. Which we're going to talk about next. Okay, so AMD reported earnings after the close. It sounded really good on the surface. They beat earnings estimates. They guided higher. And right now I show the stock about even. It's up 67 cents. It was up higher than that. It's traded 35 million shares. And they're moving along with their acquisition of Xilinx, right? Is that the one they're
right.
buying?
Xilinx. Yep. Looks like it's gonna. You know, it looks like Lisa Su, the CEO, who we've mentioned a number of times on here, she expects it to close at the end of the year, and that really gives them, you know, kind of a leg up and, you know, and to compete kind of in NVIDIA's space as well. So it'll be
that would be really good. Yeah,
right. So it's you know, it's one of those things that has taken a while to kind of come to a head and get done, but it's you know, I think it'll make them more of a competitive situation going forward instead of, you know, strictly just say like an Intel competitor, if you will.
Right. Okay. And AMD, let me see if there's any other highlights. That's always good when they guide higher going forward.
Classic beat and raise scenario. I think they beat by 10%, and they're raising here's the revenue growth,
raised it
guidance from full year from 60% growth to 65% growth. So,
man.
I mean, you know.
65% growth. Okay. And so the quarter they just reported, their earnings were up, 78% year over year. Their sales were up 54% year over year. And over the last 5 years, if you compound the growth in earnings, it's averaged 135% per year. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to contrast that with Intel, the company that used to be the leader in this industry. Their five-year growth rate has been 17%, which isn't bad. But also look at Intel's most recent quarter. Their sales were only up 5%, while AMD's were up 54%. Okay, why do we call it Best Stocks Now? You know, and the market is full of mediocrity. It really is. I mean, when it comes down to it, the vibrancy in the market, probably 10 to 15% of the overall market. Yeah, it's kind of the same in sports. You know, Barry, you've got all these college football teams and all these NFL teams, and there seem to be about 10% that every year
right.
rise.
Right, have a chance. Yeah.
That even have a chance, and you have just perennial losers and bad programs, and it's the same in the stock market, and it's up to each individual investor. That's why I always say, go where you want to go, do what you want to do. See if I care. I don't care. But as for me and my house, right, we're gonna buy the best. We're not gonna buy mediocre stuff. And I mean, AMD has just clobbered Intel over the years. Okay, now you could say, well, Intel pays a dividend. Yeah, okay, AMD is ranked number 22 out of almost 6,000. Okay, the next one I want to talk about is Microsoft, because believe it or not, this is now, it's a $2.4 trillion company. That thing is blasting off today like Tesla did last week. We own, you know, when you narrow down the premier growth portfolio to just 20 stocks, and also the dividend and growth portfolio, Microsoft is in both of those. AMD is only in the growth one because it doesn't pay a dividend yield. But believe it or not, after all of these years, Microsoft could be a stodgy old company like IBM, right? Or one of these other Texas Instruments or whatever. Microsoft continues to remain vibrant.
And it reinvents itself. You know, the cloud. Think of the cloud. I mean, used to be just about installs, right? On your, you know, analyst calls were about, you know, how many, you know, what percent of computers, right, is Windows running on? I mean, now it's, you know, cloud services. I mean, they've created entire businesses out of their own, you know, out of what they were already doing, which is.
That's a gorgeous chart on Microsoft. Okay. It's breaking out to a new all-time high.
3.7%. Yeah, so
it carries it to $2.4 trillion. Their sales were up 22% year over year. So for a $2.4 trillion company to still be growing, and you know, over the last 5 years, they've averaged 21% per year. With all things being equal, that's the kind of return you're going to get on your money. If they've grown their earnings by 21% per year over the last 5 years, you can probably look at the average compound return on the stock and see a very good correlation, and you've probably seen a little bit of expansion in the multiple here with the low interest rate environment we're in. You know, no wonder we own Microsoft, and they beat by 19 cents. The ranking, you know, it varies. Right now, last I looked, I mean, it was ranked at 200 earlier this year, 190. It was ranked at 112 about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And so we just continue to own Microsoft in our premier growth portfolio. It's still one of the top, in my opinion, it's still one of the top 20 franchises, large cap, mega cap. We never had trillion-dollar companies before. Now all of a sudden we're getting several. And believe it or not, a massive company like Microsoft is still a best stock now. The third one I'll talk about here, well, let's go to Facebook just for a minute. Let's check in on Facebook today. Kind of had a miserable day yesterday. It dropped below its 200-day moving average, and then it kind of rebounded there towards the end of the day. Today it's a little soft. It's down a dollar. I'm just going to say from my experience, 21 years doing this, coming up on year number 22, when these great stocks, Facebook's had 27% earnings growth over the last 5 years, when they drop down and get really low and kind of scary like that, a little bit under the 200-day moving average, for the last 12 years, that's been a buy point on these stocks. You know, Facebook is a FANG stock. And every one of these stocks, would you agree, Barry, that every one of these stocks, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, they've all gone through a quarter or two where they're out of favor and they're unpopular and they're being fined by the EU and there's antitrust litigation against them. Their servers are down for a day or two.
Yeah.
They always come back.
Meanwhile, they have, you put the group together, they have the most free cash flow, more than, I think, the entire auto industry. So that's also some interesting stats on big tech.
Yep. They continue to print money, cash flow. So you just kind of have to live with some of the bad days and bad weeks with these stocks, in my opinion. All right, we'll be right back with a lot of stocks and more on the metaverse this morning. And Chipotle is entering into the metaverse. We got to get to that, all right? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry
Hite.
This
is Bill.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up or down 59 right now after a brief little show of green this morning and a new high. The NASDAQ, S&P is flat. The NASDAQ is up 61 right now. That's mostly Microsoft, I would say. And we better check in on Alphabet. Because it's another big, that's a nice report out of Alphabet. That's hard to argue with. And you have to argue with ourselves. Why don't we own Alphabet? You know, we should.
We have.
And, I guess I panicked during one of those, EU trust allegations or something like that. But I mean, they're another, major company that, you have to contend with. They dominate the search space, and they're an advertising powerhouse. Listen to this quarter they reported. Their earnings were up 82%, and their sales were up 41%.
Right.
Not quite a trillion, but 1.9. 1.9, what am I trying to say here? 900 billion, right? Just below $1 trillion. Or, no, they are a trillion. I'm sorry, it's 1.9 trillion. They're one of the trillion-dollar babies. 1.90 is where Alphabet is. Of course, Tesla's bigger, right? No, Tesla's just crossed the trillion.
Like, yeah, they're about. I think Google's about to hit the $2 trillion mark.
Yeah, they're getting close.
I told you I need a new calculator over here. I need one that has a couple extra zeros.
Yeah, I mean, those calculators that I grew up with never had trillions in them.
Yeah. We need the old debt billboard. Remember the
that thing's
calculator?
Spinning faster
right?
than ever. It's up $95 a share, Alphabet, 3.42% move. Over the last 5 years, their earnings have grown by 21% per year. You know, here's the other thing, all right? We got to address this because there are people that have political issues with Facebook, with Alphabet. I've just kind of learned over the years that you can't really let your political issues interfere with your investing. Now, okay, you know, look, if you're going to stand by your morals and political issues, I can't stop you from doing that. I have an issue with Chinese stocks. Not really because of politics, but because of the fraud, the outright fraud, and their own country attacking their own companies. How do you deal with that? You can't own Alibaba when at any minute Jack Ma could disappear again. So as far as these FANG stocks, you hate them. You use them every day, more than likely, in one way or another. And you just kind of have to separate and look at growth, look at earnings, look at valuations. And, I mean, that's my opinion. We do have a handful of people. If I buy a stock, they'll send me an email. I don't want to own that one, you know. And I really can't take that into account when I buy and sell stocks for folks. But, you know, I mean, I try to accommodate the few exceptions. But these are powerhouse stocks. What are you going to do? They continue to grow to the sky. And Alphabet, Google had a very, very good earnings report. Okay, let's see.
Most of those names are inflation proof, by the way, which is one of the reasons we have them in the portfolio is because they're much less hurt by inflation versus, you know, a good company that produces widgets, right?
They don't use lumber, they don't use rice, they don't use tomatoes, they don't truck much stuff. I don't think Google trucks anything. I don't think there's containers down at the port full of Google parts waiting to be unloaded. So that's another huge advantage that they have. Okay, so here's an example, and I want maybe your kids can do this. Chipotle and Roblox. Here's an example of the metaverse. Chipotle's going to celebrate its annual Burrito Halloween event by becoming the first restaurant brand to open a virtual location on Roblox. Okay, so what does that mean now, Barry? But Roblox is a video game. It's
right.
A publicly traded company, so I can go to their virtual location. So is this like a virtual city a little bit?
Yeah, it's almost like it's an advertisement, right? So that's think of a random digital world, right? You put a headset on, you're in this new world. Well, we're just like our world, right? People are going to advertise. Part of this is, part of that is Chipotle, and I've heard, different universes, right? Basically companies are going to pay for real estate, right, within whatever, environment that someone's created. And I kind of see this, somewhat of a joke early on, but, I'm starting to see the dollars behind this metaverse in terms of, it really is going to be the next kind of super cycle of growth for these tech companies. I mean, you can only grow your, they're still growing these huge amounts of money, 20, 25%, 30% a year. And this is just going to be a whole new entire, to me, a whole entire, new enterprise, new area for them to grow in, which is going to be, it'll be unique. We have one set of headsets at the house. I think we have our oldest one has the Oculus or whatever, right? Yep. And so that's from Facebook. The young kids play with Roblox and the older kids play with Roblox. So,
and while you're
apparently
playing,
adults will too.
While you're playing Roblox, you'll find $1 million in free burritos in there somewhere. So really the metaverse meets the real world and they intersect and this is going to continue. The company that's really talking it up is Facebook, obviously.
And we'll know a lot more tomorrow, I think, with, they're supposed to have a big, big announcement. I don't know if Mark's doing it from the metaverse. That's my guess, whatever that looks like. But it'll be unique to see what comes out tomorrow. I'm kind of, I'm intrigued. Let's put it that way.
We have a new, I got to add this one to the app. I'm going to make a note to myself. That's not it. It's not out yet, but you can bet against Bitcoin. That is coming soon. There's a second Bitcoin ETF out there now, BTF. BITO, of course, was the first one coming out. Valkyrie filed paperwork Tuesday to launch the Valkyrie XBTO leveraged Bitcoin futures. Okay, so that's going to be juiced. But there's also one that's coming out. I can't find the symbol here
it's
in this article.
Inverse?
Yes, BTC. There it is. BTC. If you think that Bitcoin is worth nothing, like Jamie Dimon says, BTC is your ticket. You've made some money here the last few days. I see Bitcoin becoming a lot more volatile here because now the shorts are able to get in there. All right, Twitter. We'll look at Twitter real quickly. They're another giant. They've really kind of stumbled, though. They've really stumbled along trying to monetize Twitter. Jack Dorsey's done a lot better with Square. But, don't sneeze at Twitter. It's $45 billion. I mean, it's a mere baby, right, compared to these trillion-dollar companies. Right. And Twitter's had its share of controversy, kicking out of their metaverse or universe some famous people, well-known people. And Jack Dorsey's a pretty controversial guy himself. That stock's down 8% today. I've never owned Twitter. I don't think it's been handled very well. You've got all those eyeballs watching it, and we're on Twitter, and we get people that comment. I found you on Twitter, or StockTwits is where I really am. But Twitter's earnings were not that good. They lost money over the last quarter, and their sales were only up 37%. So, well, yeah, I've never owned Twitter.
That's the difference where public opinion, not good, similar to Facebook. But Facebook is delivering, right, from an earnings standpoint,
yes.
And Twitter is not.
Twitter is not.
You know, I think it's that easy. And of course, Google, their YouTube revenue, they said it was basically not affected at all much by the iOS changes,
which
helped them
right, a
lot.
Now, I'm going to take a little victory lap on this one before we go to break here. I warned you about Robinhood and the demographics that they're going after and how there's not a lot of money to squeeze out of that demographic in this industry. Robinhood is getting clobbered today. It's down 9%. To $35.98. It's in the hood. I'm out of the hood. We'll be right back. You gotta go where you wanna go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll be working on the newsletter starting tomorrow. It will go out to Friday sometime around the close of the market, which is 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you'd like to sign up for this week's newsletter, the one thing I would say, we're going to have a lot better look at next year's S&P 500 earnings estimates the year after that. Also, last week we had major news on that front as the corporate tax increase, which was supposed to be fairly significant, was stopped cold by Senator Sinema and Manchin. And now they've got to go scrambling, looking for another way to raise revenues to pay for the $2 trillion. Now, that's on top of the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. Neither of those bills have been approved yet. But they're getting closer and closer, and that's why they're looking at the billionaires tax, and they're looking at, which is championed by Elizabeth Warren, and looking also at taxing unrealized gains. Imagine how much Musk would have to pay on his unrealized gains in his Tesla stock. That just makes no sense at all to me. I mean, you pay the gains when you realize those gains, and they're in your pocket, not on paper. But it seems to be advancing through the ranks. So anyways, that was a big change to the earnings estimates. I was able to get rid of scenario number B. Now we're looking at scenario A, which is how much are these companies going to make, these 500 companies, next year and the year after that? And will it be more than this year? That's what's important. And where are we getting with that multiple as interest rates start to creep higher? This is the number one indicator. I had someone write to us yesterday, Barry, on the through the website saying, I need Bill's help on knowing. He says, I'm worried about inflation. I'm worried about this and that. And you know what? I keep always say it comes down to earnings. That's the number one indicator. When you get the newsletter, go look at the macro outlook. And there may be a few changes in the portfolios. We'll see. I mean, I still got today, tomorrow, and Friday to get the newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. And, we still talk to several people a day about our services of money management where, there's a big difference that separates us from the others out there. I'm sure there's a lot of companies like us, but as far as being vigilant and trying to be in the best stocks in the market and also having a defense on the field when we need it, when we see that time coming where we're starting to head into an earnings recession, the last bear was 53%, and back in the year 2000, the NASDAQ went down 79%. We can't promise we'll avoid it, but we're vigilant. I mean, if it happens overnight, it happens overnight. But generally speaking, watching forward, looking ahead a year or two. That's the key to all of this. All right, the stocks that stand out to me, Barry, today, one would be Enphase, ENPH. We've owned this thing in the past. It's pretty choppy.
Yeah, it's one that I've loved over the years. It's and it's an inverter, so they're an inverter company, so they're not tied to the price of solar panels, which go up and down like a commodity a lot of times. They're kind of the technology underneath the solar panel.
Yes, it's a technology solar company, because just making solar panels, you know, that's become a commodity, and there's not a lot of money in that. But as far as converting those solar panels to usable energy for the home, that's a whole nother thing. That's technology, and that technology keeps getting better and better and better. Enphase just knocked the ball out of the park, and that's lifting that whole entire sector. And then going along on the green energy theme here today, lithium continues to do well. Lithium in Arkansas, we talked about this a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. There's a company that went public back in July. I added it to the app. It won't get a full Gunderson grade for 1 year, but it's starting to get momentum grades, and the momentum is very strong. The relative strength on the Investor's Business Daily scale on 1 to 99 is 98 relative strength. Standard Lithium, SLI, is breaking out to a new high today. It's a $1.7 billion company. It's that brine mining and advanced lithium extraction.
That was the story with the Great Salt Lake, too, right?
Yes, the Great Salt Lake, and that company is the Compass Minerals, CMP. This company is SLI. It's a pure lithium play. Located in Arkansas, SLI. So, yeah, those are just a couple of companies.
I've got one, and it's probably a pat on your back at the same time.
Affirm,
AFRM,
yeah.
Up almost 3% today. You've nailed that one.
That thing has just been on fire.
Well, and they just announced, a deal with another deal, right? American Airlines. So you can buy now and pay later on your plane ticket. And I think I bought something that was very small, but I'm like, you know what? I want to see how this Affirm stuff, how it works, right?
Yeah.
There's virtually no credit check. They just, it's like, okay.
Wow.
And there's no interest. It's literally, they just end up taking it out of your account, over a 4 week period or something. I just wanted to see how it works, and I kind of use myself as a guinea pig a lot of times in some of this stuff. And everything came out. There's nothing else that I see. It's not like I paid more than it was.
Go put on your headphones and your oculars and find me a free burrito for lunch on the Roblox from Chipotle. All right. And then call me when I can pick it up or have it delivered to my desk around 1 o'clock. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. There's more. I looked at the earnings list tonight. It was too long to even go through, but we're starting to get some of these really big companies that move the markets, some of these giants, and they're really going to be the future of the S&P really falls into the hands of these CEOs that run these big companies and continuing to increase their earnings, continuing to control cost, continuing to innovate and come up with new products that people will pay for. That's what it's all about. They're called Best Stocks Now. Get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Get your burrito at Roblox.com. And give us a call at 855-611-BEST to talk about your financial plan. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.